Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. I think, just want to talk a little bit about a subject I think is prevalent in all believers' life. And even back when Apostle Paul wrote this, probably Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. Some people don't agree with that. I think he probably did. Anyway, God, the Holy Spirit wrote it, some man penned it, but anyway, he was writing here to these believers. The Hebrew, need to understand that these were Hebrew believers. Therefore, leaving the principles of doctrine of Christ. And what he's saying is, you need to go on to perfection. Need to go on to perfection. And evidently, they had been saved by the grace of God, true believers, but they still made it in their walk with the Lord. Now, I'm of the opinion, happens a lot today with believers. But he's telling them, and these people were getting caught up in the Old Testament ritual, trying to go back in under the law, and that's what he's talking about here. And he's on the laying on the hands and repentance of dead works and things like that. He's talking about them going back in Old Testament rituals, going back under the law and trying to get back into that. And I can understand that because that's the way those people have been raised, and it's hard to get away from sometimes the way you've been taught and raised, ain't it, Brother Lowell? We may not have that problem with the law, but we have that problem with a lot of other things. And it's about the same thing. But what Paul's telling them here is you need to go on to perfection. I thought about Brother Billy. I think preacher even said something about it here maybe a week or two ago when he was preaching or teaching about Brother Billy. Said somebody asked him if he preached perfection. And he said, no, but I try to reach perfection. I don't attain it, but that's my duty, is to strive to. Well, he's really not talking about being perfect. None of us will ever do that, but he's talking about us maturing in our walk with the Lord, in our understanding of the scriptures and spiritual things. And I just thought about it just now, and I don't know exactly where it's at, but there's a place in the scriptures talks about converts being staying on the milk, you know, not moving on to the meat. And that's what he's talking about here, really, about us moving on to perfection, moving on to maturity. And he also mentions the foundation. Well, I think and there are some steps to maturing as a believer. I thought about whose responsibility is that? Brother Lowell, I thought about that. And you know, about anybody that would answer that question would see, if it's me, it's my responsibility. And I think that's probably right, but let me say this. The church also has a responsibility in that. You and I have a responsibility. If we have a new convert, and it hurts me to say this, but while I'm saying it, I know it's true. And all you could do is just take the litmus test, you know. These young converts that's been saved here in the last few weeks and months, what have you done to try to promote them along? I'm reminded back when I got saved as a young man. And I've spent some time just meditating and thinking about that. And I think we need to do that. We need to go back and take an account and go over our life and evaluate some things. And while I'm not saying it's the church's sole responsibility, I will say it's the majority of the responsibility lies on the person. But the church, we, as God's people, do have a responsibility. I thought about Zach back there just now. Old brother Zach, he got saved here. Zach, I'm going to say 3 or 4 years ago, maybe. Six. That tells you where my mind's going. 6 years ago, Zach got saved. And I remember when he got saved. But I also remember Jack, there was a period in his life where he didn't come to church too much. He had a lot going on, working a graveyard. But I'm saying all that to say this. I believe this is about 6 Sundays in a row, maybe. Did you miss last Sunday, Zach? Well, I tell you what, he's made about 6 out of 8 then, 6 out of 7. And I'm trying to make a point. That encourages me as well as it encourages him. But I've tried to make the point to encourage Zach. I told him a while ago, I said, Zach, boy, you're doing good. You're doing real good. I mean, you're coming in here. You understand what I'm saying? We have a responsibility. Let's not neglect that. We as human beings sometimes have a tendency, if something is suitable to us or appealing to us or kind of goes along with our thinking, we have less trouble maybe doing the things we ought to do. But sometimes when things don't appear or don't look like it ought to or don't, you know, come up to our standards or whatever, we're more reluctant to push away from it. And that holds true in every facet of life, I think. Let's don't let that happen in our spiritual life. Let's be careful to adhere to the things that we ought to as believers. And one of those things is supporting newborn Christians, encouraging them along the way. And there's different ways we can do that. And I know we all know what I'm talking about. If it's just a word of kindness, it could be something that you do for them physically. Whatever the case, we have a responsibility there. Not taking any responsibility away from the individual. But the church does have a responsibility. And I think that we need to understand that to start with. I thought about and started to tell you about when I got saved. And I'm not saying this to make anybody look bad or anybody think, and it wouldn't matter anyway, it's been so long ago, but I was saved in a First Baptist church. And at the time, really, First Baptist Church was much like what we have here today. They've drifted a lot, and they've, you know, changed a lot of them. But I would say to you that I was a whole lot like some of these bus kids. It comes in here and some of them has been saved. We was poor. I mean, we were so poor we thought the poor was rich. And I had a sister that made me go to church. And I got on the preaching of the gospel. Had a good pastor. I can't say too much for the rest of them. But I thought so much about how different it might have been for me. Had one of those deacons or one of those church people kind of took me under their wing. Lord, that would have meant so much to me as just a young boy. But it didn't happen. The pastor did somewhat. But you know, the pastor can't do everything. And that's kind of our mentality, to let the pastor do it. We do have a responsibility. God help me to be more aware of that. Try to be a help to these kids. Not just kids, older people. Anybody, newborn Christian. It don't matter if you're old or young. You still need that. Need encouragement. We all do. We all need encouragement. That's the way we're made. Think back over your life. There was a man in my life, and actually, I can't remember who it was. Somebody asked me, it was on visitation. I believe it was you, Kenny. Wasn't it you that was mentioning Curtis Dean to me? Anyway, they talked to him. And that man was a big influence in my life. So, we don't spend more time there, but we need to be aware. We need to be sensitive to that. Then we'll look at, notice he mentions a foundation. In order to be a mature Christian, you have to understand about the foundation. And I want to tell you this morning, without any hesitation, the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord told Peter, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I think that ought to be an encouragement, because when we look at this thing, we can rest assured that the other side is stable. The other side's going to do what he said. He's not going to shirk on any of his responsibilities. And we have a foundation. But here's the thing about it. I've been in building most of my life and fooling around with that kind of stuff. The foundation's only beginning. You want to make sure you've got a good foundation when you're building a building, that's for sure. That's the main part, Brother Lowell. But when you get the foundation laid, there's more work to be done. You get the foundation laid, you're either going to start laying block or you're going to start framing, whichever the case. So, we have a foundation that won't be shaken. It's up to us to build on it. That was what Paul was writing to these people. He was concerned. I think he looked at them and observed that they weren't maturing. And I'm not here this morning to say anybody in this room is not maturing as they should. But if I was a betting man, and I'm not, I'd about say they're not. There's some in here is not, because I'm in here. And we need to understand that we have a responsibility to mature. In order to mature as a believer, one of the priorities has to be that our thinking's right. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We're living in a world today where people's thinking is messed up. We're living in last days, perilous times. And if you're not careful, somebody will bring through something messy thinking up. Our thinking needs to be right. Paul writing to the church at Philippi, he said, let this mind be in you. Guess what mind that was? The mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but was made of no reputation. Here was a mind. He was a king of kings and lord of lords, but took upon himself no reputation, implying humility. Our mind needs to be right. We need to have the right thinking. We need to have a mind of humility. Something we don't have a lot of in this time that we live in. Our mind needs to be right. Our thinking needs to be right. That's the reason he wrote the same book, Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Do you ever catch your mind of thinking on things you ought not think on? Boy, I tell you, that's a big problem for me. I guess everybody's like that. I don't know, but it might help me to know that they are. But I'll be trying to pray or study or anything, spiritually speaking. And the first thing I know, you know what's happening? something that ought not be there is coming into my mind. Our minds need to be stayed on the Lord. Does that mean you constantly, every minute? And I've thought about this, you know, people say, you know, pray. The Bible says pray without ceasing. Well, I think you'd have to, you know, figure that out, what that's talking about, because we all know you can't just pray every minute of the day. But you can have an attitude of prayer. Your mind can be on those things. You can be driving down the road. I was just thinking I probably don't need to go there. Because when I'm driving down the road, my wife has to tell me where to turn off at. But anyway, besides driving down the road, we'll leave that alone, get something else. But you can have an attitude of spiritual things and a thinking on your mind. And then I call it, Brother Rose, in the back burner. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, speaking of the mind, he said, I fear, lest by any means, as Satan beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your minds might be corrupted from the simplicity of the gospel. There's a lot in here about that. And we need to take care that we guard our minds. Because the way we're made up, if we get to thinking on the wrong things, you know what happens? It's like a snowball. Yeah. Starts out a little bit, Brother Ralph, and just picks it up as it goes along. First thing you know, you're in trouble. I've heard them old-timers preach, you know, I can't keep a bird from flying over, but I can keep him from building a nest in my hair. That's kind of, I guess that's probably a little bit crude. But I tell you one thing, there's a lot of truth in it. Keep your mind pure. In order to mature in our walk, need to keep our mind pure. Then I think we have a responsibility is to feed that mind. Keep it pure and feed it. Paul, writing to the young preacher Timothy, he said, study. Study. What is study? I know I say 95% or maybe 100% of the time when we say study, we think about reading and studying the Word of God. But I just thought about this. That primarily probably is what it is. But it's not just that. It has to do with her mind again. Studying on spiritual things. Meditating on spiritual things. Going to bed, meditating on spiritual things. Getting up, meditating on spiritual things. It's pretty easy for us, if we've got problems, to meditate on spiritual things. You know, if we've got a young and sick or a mom on hospice or a dad on hospice or, you know, we can get down to business then, can't we? But probably when we really need to concentrate on it, when everything's going pretty good, because that's when we're the most vulnerable. I fear lest by any means. Well, let me see here. In the maturing of our spiritual walk, we also, for sure, want to understand that we have an adversary. I think we all know that. I'm reminded of it every way I turn. But Paul, writing to this young preacher again in 2 Timothy in chapter 2, he said, thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. and in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. The same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Peter tells us in Peter, be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, sober-minded. Again, be vigilant, be alert. For your, what? Adversary. That's our enemy. We're in a battle. In order to us mature as God's people, we need to understand that we are in a battle. We're to have our guard on at all times. I think Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, he told them to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take on the whole armor of God. That means the whole ball of wax. That we may be able to stand. And it just didn't happen to be there, but he said, in the evil day. I believe this. I believe there's more mental persecution of the believer today than there's ever been before. If you look back in the history and time, most of the persecution of the believers was physical. I believe today it's more mental. So we need to be sober and need to be vigilant, because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He's not choosy. He don't care who you are. No exceptions. Jude wrote, he said, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who before of old were ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. The devil is he's our enemy, he's our adversary, and he's not alone. You got plenty of help. I dare say he's got more today than he's ever had before. He's a well-armed army. But Paul said, thou therefore endure the dear hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. These people here, these Hebrew people, they were kind of leaning and going back in under the law. And that concerned Paul, as it should have. And any layperson in a church today, and that covers a wide range of people, and not necessarily layperson, elders in the church, anybody that's been saved for any length of time, anybody that's at any stage of maturity above the foundation, they ought to be concerned what's going on today. Souls are being weighed in the balance. Every one of us in here this morning have children and grandchildren, almost without exception, relatives, neighbors, friends that need the Lord, that need to be saved. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but it saddens my heart that I've not done a better job than what I have. We need to mature in the Lord. We've got the right foundation. It's going to be there. It's got enough steel in it and enough concrete in it. Don't have to worry about it. Let's build on it. Let's don't just leave it laying there, sitting there. I have seen places and things like this, I guess, probably different maybe than some people. People think different. I understand that. But when you've been around certain things, I guess that kind of strikes a note on you sometimes more than other things do. But I have went by places where construction had been started on a place, a building, a business, or whatever, a house. Brother Rose looked like, you know, they just got the foundation poured and just quit. Now, that might not mean much to you, but that's a sad sight to me. I don't know what caused it. I don't know what happened. You know, a lot of things could have. I took my grandboys over to, I live right in behind North High School. And I took them grandboys of mine over just to get them out of the house and let them get rid of a little bit of energy. And we walked around over there on the back side of the school. And you think, well, it don't mean nothing to me. Well, it does to me. And I looked around just to myself. I looked at the facilities. Of course, everybody knows they're fixing to redo a lot of stuff in the county school system. You know what happens when that happens, don't you? The existing things get neglected. And I looked around, I walked around over and stayed over a pretty good while, and my mind is thinking I couldn't get away from it. Brother Rose, I thought about, you know, there was tennis courts, there was football field, baseball field, and a lot of things that goes along with that just throwed over in the corner. Weeds growed up. And I thought, it saddened my heart at the neglect that takes place there. I thought about, you know, here we are building new schools. And that's a good enough school. I don't care if you've got kids over or you ain't got kids. Mine went there. I don't care how you feel about it. It don't matter to me. But I'll tell you what I think about it. It's a good enough school for any kid to go to. But I know how politics works too. But when I saw that, and I'm trying to get back to the lesson, it saddened my heart. And I thought about how many places would give anything to just have that. Go over to some of these coal mining places over and around. Drive by the schools over in there, brother. But that happens. But that don't mean we have to like it. Now we'll go take it back to the spiritual side. I'm just telling you the experience that I had just a day or two ago and how that I looked at that, and kind of goes back and it has to do with the foundation and neglect and not massaging it along like we need to. We have to be careful. We have a danger of falling into that trap we talked about over last week or week before last there in James, being enticed. I believe it'd help us all as God's people, help the church, help one another, if we would just consider a lot of things that I've talked about this morning in our life. Not be like the man looked in the looking glass. And I'm going to admit to you, that's the way I am most of the time. That's the way we all are a lot of times. Preach a good message, it sounds good, and we amen it, and it stirs our heart. But just as soon as we leave, next day we can't hardly tell you what he preached about. That's like the man that looked in the looking glass, and then as soon as he left, he forgot what he saw. We're prone to do that. Again, I know I talk about it a lot, but that's the way we're made up, and I can't leave here because I haven't got a man that got on to me. But I'm going to just quit right there. Don't neglect. You're moving on to maturity in your Christian life. If you do, I'll leave this with you, if we do, there'll come a day, if we do, we'll regret we did. That's for sure. Amen.